Today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians, chapters 3, verses 1 to 9. If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand and an usher can provide you with one. First Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 9. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in the human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the strength. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Lemuel. So we continue in our series of messages from 1 Corinthians, this ancient letter written by the Apostle Paul. And this series is called Body Life, because we who are followers of Jesus Christ, those of us who have placed our faith and trust in Him as Lord, we are the body of Christ, the body of Christ on earth. We are the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in faith through Christ. And so we are related by the blood of Christ. Everything surrounds Jesus. Everything comes from Jesus when we become followers of Him. And so that's who we are. That's our identity in Christ. And the more we know this truth, that we are the body of Christ, that you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are the family of God, then the more you and I will live by that truth, day in and day out. Our text today in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is in the context of dealing with divisions that existed in the Corinthian church, or what we would say the church in this ancient city of Corinth in that day that the Apostle Paul was writing. And we've seen that in the first chapter, in the second chapter, and now in the third chapter, as was just read to us, these divisions that were going on in that church. And the Corinthian believers were challenged by the Apostle Paul to follow Christ and to seek God's wisdom. We saw this in chapter 2, rather than worldly wisdom. Because that's what would lead to divisions, is when we have arguments and divisions then with each other. That is because we are following worldly wisdom, and then we seek God's wisdom. That dissolves those divisions between us. And so this was happening in the Corinthian church, the church that Paul had planted, and he was trying to deal with their divisions that was occurring. And you know, last year, in some degree, we experienced division in our midst as a church, surrounding and entering up or coming up to the presidential election. Remember, there was a lot of people that were really for Trump, and a lot of people that were for Hillary, and then a lot of people that were not for either of them. And some people were really passionate. And so there was this sense of division among even the body of Christ, and at least potential for that division. And even to this day, there still, it seems to be somewhat divisions when those topics come up and with respect to support of political figures. And so we still, even on that level, we can still experience divisions if we go that right. If we want to emphasize our differences in that area. But today we're going to be specifically looking at verses 5 through 9, not 1 through 9. I had Lemuel read the first few verses again, kind of give us that context again of the divisions. But verses 5 through 9, the main point there is what we're going to focus on today, because the truth of these verses dissolves the divisions and arguments that we may have in Christ. Or not in Christ, but we have in the Christ church. It'll dissolve it. If we can just remember the truth, the main point of these verses here, then all other arguments and differences will dissolve and take their proper place. And that truth is that it is God who makes things grow. It's God who makes things grow. It's not any leader. It's not a group of people. It's not a nation. It's not the type of political system we have or the economy we have. It's not any of those things in and of themselves. It's God who makes things grow. It's a very simple truth. But it's hard for us to really believe that and follow that, I think, as brothers and sisters in Christ because of the way we live and the way we adopt the thinking of worldly wisdom. Let me give an example of practical thing and from my cousins in Iowa as farmers. They grow stuff, or at least we say that's what they do, but they don't actually grow stuff, right? It's because God makes things grow. What they do is they plant the seeds, they feed their livestock, but do they make the things grow? No, they don't. All they do is they try to control the environment as best as they can. They try to create a healthy environment that could be to help encourage growth if it's going to happen. And then they just kind of lay back and wait and hope and pray that growth will happen. If you put a seed in the proper fertilized soil and you try to keep it protected as well as you can, you plant it at the right time, you know, then most likely it's going to grow if it's healthy, right? But they don't cause it to grow. They're not in control of the growth process. And then there's disaster and floods and drought and heat and bitter cold, all those things that still come and cause big problems for my cousins periodically. And those things are out of their control. So it's really, ultimately, they can do what they can, but they realize, if you talk to farmers, growth is out of their hands. They depend on the Lord God. Or some farmers would say, just luck and coincidence if their crops come up. But we know, as the scriptures say, God is the one that makes things grow. And similar for parents, right? What do our parents do for us? Did they make us grow? They might have wished they could, but they fed us, right? They protect us. They give us a good education, hopefully, and they do all these things and try to create an environment that's healthy for us to grow and become good citizens, good adults, so that we can, you know, take care of them when they get old and need our support, right? But they want us to grow, but they can't make us grow. They don't. It's God who makes things grow. Well, God is ultimately responsible for growth, we see in this text, but we also see in this text that God works through people to accomplish His work. So while God causes the growth, He makes things grow, there's this symbiotic relationship that He works through us, His body on earth, to accomplish His work. He works through people to accomplish His work. But it's God who makes things grow. Look at verses 5 and 6 especially. It says there, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted," meaning Paul, he's writing this, "Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." You see, God works through people to accomplish His work. And how does He work through people, as we see in this text? Is that we plant the seeds. We, the people of God, plant the seeds. As Paul said, "I planted the seeds." But what are the seeds that he's talking about here? They're using this metaphor of the farming, planting seeds. How many of you plant seeds, actually, in your life? Have you ever planted a seed? My wife, Tony, Bethany. Okay, some of the kids here, maybe for school, right? Maybe you'd like to grow flowers or something in the garden, see if you can get some fruit out of it. Yeah, a few of us have planted seeds. But what are the seeds Paul's speaking of here, and what he's referring to something, metaphor that Jesus used in a parable in Luke chapter 8. Let me read that few verses for us. This is a parable that Jesus gave, and then Paul is picking up on that. It says, "While a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow a seed. And he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and it was trampled on. And the birds of the air ate it up. Some of it fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, "He who has ears let him hear. And then just a few verses later, it says, this is the meaning of the parable. Jesus said this. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. So the seed is the word of God. When Paul, in his writing to the Corinthians, and he's talking, I planted the seed, he's saying he planted the word of God. He shared the word of God with the Corinthians. Apollos watered the word of God. The seed is the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is the word. As John, the book of John, the gospel of John starts, right? In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. And then the word became flesh. And so we know it's Jesus himself is the word. And so we, as God's people, are simply spreading Jesus around. Letting people know about Jesus. Pointing our lives are to point people to Jesus in everything we do. In the everyday stuff of life. You know, in the mornings, I have to reboot my mind to focus on Jesus. Especially on those mornings where I pop awake and I'm thinking, I've got so much to do today. And I'm starting to get anxious about it. Am I going to finish everything I got to do? What happens if I don't finish it? What if I can't do it? And I start getting worried, and I'm starting to focus on these things, and I'm letting the worries of the world enter into my heart. And I need to reboot my mind and point myself to Jesus. And realize, it's all about Him. It's not about whether or not I can do this or that, or how well I do it. It's all about Jesus. And then I will be able to point others to Jesus. Because I'm not going to be pointing people to Jesus during my day if I'm too worried about trying to get the stuff done, right? No, I have to redirect myself to Jesus before I can point others to Jesus and spread the seeds. Our days must start first and foremost pointing ourselves to Jesus. Remember, begin with prayer. Pointing ourselves with Jesus. And then we will be able to point others to Him. So we plant the seeds. This is the first thing we see in the text today, that God wants to accomplish. His work is having you and me spread the seed. Spread the word of God. And so how do we plant the seeds? Well, the sower in this picture here threw them out as they walked. So they just kind of walk back and forth in the field. And then they'd go back this way. You know, they didn't have machinery like we had. And they just can't go as they walk. They do it over the field or the area of ground that they had prepared beforehand. And the seed, you throw the seed out if you're planting some kind of like crop that is going to, you want it to grow everywhere. Not in rows, like we were talking about in our Sunday school class a little earlier. There's certain seed and plants you don't just like plant like that, right? If there's tomato plants, you want them to be in rows, or corn is in rows, things like that. But oats and hay and barley, any kind of grass, you want it to grow everywhere in that area. So they're just throwing it out. And it's the similar image for how we are to plant the Word of God. And that's why it's used here. Is that we, as we go back and forth in our lives, in the everyday stuff of our life, when we just do our routines, we do the same thing every day, pretty much. Monday through Friday, we go to school, we go to work. And then on the weekends, we kind of do the same things, right? We go out with our friends, or we hang out with so-and-so, or, you know, we do our routine every week. We go back and forth, and we're spreading the seeds as we go. This is the Word of God, because if our life is pointed to Jesus, then we will be pointing others to Jesus as we go about our everyday stuff of life. Whether we're going to work or school or we're going out to see a movie or whatever it is, we will still be pointed to Jesus. And we will therefore be spreading the seeds. How do we do this practically, though? Well, we do this that we live as Jesus followers, obeying His teachings in view of everybody else. That's simple. We just obey what Jesus told us to do while we're with people, while we're doing the everyday stuff of life. So we plant seeds through things like encouraging words or just simply a warm greeting to someone. Give them a hug, you know, appropriately. A caring word or action, showing hospitality. We plant seeds by being a blessing to people in our lives, because Jesus has blessed us. Remember, we are to be a blessing because Jesus has blessed us. He blesses to have us be a blessing on for His glory. And so if you remember the rhythms of life that we talked about, the disciple-making rhythms on bless, right? It's begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve in the name of Christ, and then share the story of God, the story of how Jesus rescued you, the story of His work, and the story of the Word of God. And then listen to their story. It's all about the story. So we have these rhythms that are seed-planting rhythms in and of themselves. When I was an engineer, I've mentioned this before, I simply, and it wasn't my idea, it was an idea of my pastor as we were talking about kind of how to fly the flag, we said it, or to plant seeds, spread the seeds. And so I started and I set up my desk my first day on the job, and I had this sign and I put it above my desk and it just said simply, God is greater than any problem I have. That was it. I was an engineer, you know, I had to solve problems, design things. So, and over the period of just that first month on the job, my coworkers, the seeds were planted, and I didn't even have to open my mouth. They just knew that this person sitting at this desk, his name is Jeff, looked to God for answers in life. That was it. Because I was kind of letting people know that. Why would I put up a sign like that? God is greater than any problem I have. And so, and that in itself started to plant seeds. And in conversation, you know, they got to know. Eventually, I went from being this engineer that they worked with who happened to be a Christian. Over time, they started to see me as this Christian who happened to be working there as an engineer. That's how we plant the seeds, is we begin to see ourselves as part of God's family, as identified with Jesus, who we are following, and then they begin to identify us with Jesus, who we are following. First and foremost, rather than what we do. So, am I a student, or am I a Christian, a follower of Jesus who happens to be a student? And so when people begin to see that, then we are planting seeds because we're pointing them to Jesus first and foremost rather than, you know, I'm an awesome engineer. I can design much better than you do, you know, or something like that. And that's not our identity. It's who we are in Christ. So how do we plant the seeds? We communicate that our identity is in Jesus, not what we do. We identify ourselves as followers of Jesus in everything we do. Why do we go to school? Why are you in college? Why do you go to work and have a job? Is it because of Jesus? Or is it because of something else? Why do we do the things we do? Everything we do is to point to Jesus in some way. Jesus is the reason why we live. Jesus is the reason why we look forward to eternal life. Jesus is our only hope in life. Because Jesus said, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only truth. And Jesus is the only life that you can ever hope to have that has any meaning. And so He's everything. So everything we do should point to Him. As Colossians 3:17 says, one of my favorite verses, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, what does it say there? Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We can plant seeds while we're doing anything. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, also written by Paul, the apostle. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly, sowing is throwing the seed out to plant it. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. If we're not sowing the seeds of the Word of God in our life, how can we ever expect to see disciples made for Jesus? We can't. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 and 9, again, another letter that Paul wrote. He says there, the one who sows, using this metaphor again, to please his sinful nature, or her sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What is that harvest we will reap? Is it just for ourselves? No. It's not only for ourselves. It's the seeds in our hearts grow as we obey Christ, but it's the seeds of doing the good things of God, and then people respond to the one we're pointing to, and they become faithful followers of Christ as well. That's the harvest talked about here. So not only do we God work and accomplish His work through us, His people, to plant the seeds, but it's also to water the seeds we see in this text. Because Paul says, I planted and Apollos watered. So there's this planting the seeds and watering the seeds. The Word of God. What does that mean? To water the seeds of the Word of God. Well, this just simply means providing a healthy environment for seeds that have already been planted. So you may have planted a seed in someone's heart that I meet. How can I continue to water that seed and create an environment for that seed to grow and possibly blossom into some strong plant with roots in Christ? Well, how does a farmer do that? How do farmers create an environment? They fertilize, right? If you think about fertilizer, though, that's kind of a yucky job. My cousins would pile up all the cow leftovers, and they would periodically have to do that in the barnyards because it gets so deep, you know. Because, you know, they don't all do it in one spot. They just do it everywhere. So they would literally get their tractors and shovel the big truckloads of it, and they would put it in one spot. It's kind of like a compost pile of all that good stuff. And then they would keep it there for a while, and then they would take it at springtime, or maybe a little earlier than that. And I'm not up on the timings here because I'm not a farmer. But then they would take it and they put it in these like trucks or these things, trailers that they haul behind their tractors. And they go out in their fields and it would like, I don't know if you ever use one of those things in your yard. You push it around and it like spreads the seed. Well, this one doesn't spread seed. It spreads the fertilizer. So they just carry that around and go back and forth and they spread the fertilizer. And then they take their hoe or their tills and they drag that and they till it up and put it in the ground. And what are they doing? They're preparing the soil. They're trying to create an environment that's good for growth. And then, of course, they try to water their fields if they can. But most farmers in Iowa, where my cousins live, they just depend on God to water, right? They try to keep the animals out. They put pesticides on there, trying to keep the bugs off if that's a problem. They try to protect what they've planted to give an environment for health so that the seeds would grow. God works through His people to accomplish His work. But it's God who makes things grow. We can do all the effort we want. We can spread the seeds like crazy. But we have to realize, ultimately, it's God who makes the seeds grow. It's not us. We can't force it. We can't manipulate people into believing in Jesus. Well, how does God do this through us as well, not only by planting the seeds and watering the seeds? Let's look at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. He says there, as the Lord assigned to each. This means that every person in the body of Christ has an important role to fulfill in this process of planting and watering the seeds and helping people come to Christ, making disciples. What role are you fulfilling in God's kingdom work? How would you answer that? If you're a follower of Jesus, what role do you have in God's kingdom work? Because you got a very important role to play. He has work for you. He's planned for you to do. You might be thinking, I don't know what role I have in God's kingdom work. You know, if we're following Jesus as Lord and Savior and Creator, He's got an ultimate plan and He's got a plan for us right now. Not like in the future. Of course He has one in the future for us. But He's got something for us to do right now. Once we believe, we're to join Him in His plan. And to know our role is very simple. Here we go. Listen to this. Very simple. You'll leave here today knowing what you're supposed to do for Jesus. What are you doing right now? And whatever you're doing right now, you can do it for Jesus. That's what you're to do. Right? Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So whatever you're doing, you can plant seeds through what you're doing. Whatever it is. That's what your role is right now. That's what you and I are called to do. So you may be sitting here thinking, I'm going to middle school. What am I supposed to do there? Or I'm going to college. I'm in pharmacy, man. It's misery. You know, whatever it may be, I'm married. My kids have moved out. You know, whatever we're doing, we can do it in the name of Jesus. So if we're going to school, we go to school for Jesus. We don't study to please our parents. We don't study to get straight A's. We don't study because we want to be in because of the peer pressure we receive to do the best of the best to try to do better scores than the other kids or whatever. We don't do that. We do it for Jesus. We do the best we can. We are the best student we can be for Jesus' sake and for His glory. And not for our parents or just name the list. Not even for myself to feel good about myself. No, we do it for Jesus and Jesus alone. That way, whether I get a C or an A, I can stand proud because I am doing this for the glory of Jesus. As long as I did my best for His glory. Because that gives Him glory, right? We don't give God glory when we just slouch through life and sleep late and, you know, don't do anything that we're supposed to do. And, you know, that's not bringing glory to Christ because that's not the Spirit of Christ working in us. So if we're working every day, we're at a job, why are we going to our job? Why are we doing it? Is it to raise money for our family to support them? Well, that might be a result of it. No, we're going to work there for Christ Jesus. And that's the outflow of it. He provided the job for us so that we can support our family. You know, we go to work for Jesus. He's our boss. Our boss may be like a scoundrel or a jerk or whatever, but we're not working for him, thankfully, or her, right? We're working for Jesus. That helps us to bear and keep us in mind. We don't do it for ourselves or for whoever else. It's always for Jesus. If we're living at home, whether we're married living at home and have kids or we're children living at home with our parents, we live at home and we give glory to Jesus through how we live at home. We don't go home and just think about ourselves and do our own thing, don't help out. No, we go home and we glorify Jesus by serving the others that we live with. Even if they're not our family, our roommates, whatever. We serve our parents. We serve our brothers and sisters. We serve our grandparents. We bring glory to Jesus. And all that is how we spread the seeds of the gospel. Because when somebody asks us, why are you doing this? We can say, I'm doing it because I'm a follower of Jesus. And this is what He's called me to do, to serve in His name and for His glory. Or like yesterday, why does the church host this kidney screening? Is it so that we can have a healthier community, hopefully? Well, we want to help people, but we want to show God's love to them in a very practical way. And that builds bridges then to point them to Jesus. Of why do we do this? It's all about spreading the seeds. We can give God glory in everything we do. If we're married, we serve our spouse for the glory of Jesus. We don't expect our spouse to serve us. No, that's not going to work that way. No relationship worthwhile if we expect that. This is how we both plant the seed and water the seeds in our lives and all that we do. God wants us to do our best. And then He's going to do the rest. You don't worry about it. Just do our best. If whether we fail in our best, that means according to the world standards, it's okay. Because God's got our back. As long as we're on His plan. So as we plant and water the seeds, the truth to always remember is, remember is that it's God who makes the seeds grow. God grows the seeds. God makes things grow. We're just about being spreading and watering. Look at verses 6 and 7. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. But we don't really believe this, do we? We really don't believe this. Come on. We don't believe this because the way we really live and believe is that our growth and knowledge and depends really on education, right? And hard work and hard study. If we want to grow in knowledge, we got to work hard. We got to study hard. Right? To grow in wealth, it depends on where we get educated, right? We got to go to the big name schools, right? To get wealthy or get that kind of money, so first we got to go to the right schools, and then we got to get the right job, right? And then we got to work hard. We got to work hard at that job. That's how we gain wealth. We could grow in wealth. And then we apply that same thinking to how we grow in Christ. Right? We got to know the Bible inside out. We got to know everything there is to know about the Bible. And we got to work hard at devotions, right? Got to be studying devotions. We got to pray all the time. We got to read the Bible all the time. All these lists of things we got to do. We got to work hard at being a good Christian. Right? But this, if we believe this, is worldly wisdom. Because we think like we have the ability to grow ourselves in Christ by working hard. And that's the wrong thinking. That's worldly wisdom. Got to work hard at it. Doesn't mean we don't have to work at it and create that environment for growth. No, that takes a lot of work, but it's not us who causes ourselves to grow. It's God makes things grow. He wants us to plant, and He wants us to water, and that includes the seeds in our own heart. Because we're not only spreading the seeds out, we're spreading the seeds in too, as we accept the Word of God into our own hearts. And so, we need to depend on God to grow. Now, the truth is that God grows the seeds often during times of suffering and tragedy. When we have hard times, that's when our efforts and our knowledge and all that goes out the window, and we're just like, God, help me, I don't know what to do. And then we are forced, in a sense, or have the opportunity to depend really on the fact that God is going to make us grow through this. And that's the time, you know, for example, the time of my father's death, I look back to now, back in 86, so that's what, 30-some years ago. Right? 30 years ago? Is that right? Yeah. 31 years ago will be this year. So I look at that time as a significant time of growth spiritually for me. It was a very deep, painful time. But it was a tremendous time of growth for me. Death, tragedy, injustice, persecution, even our own sinful failures are the times that we can, and when we turn to Christ, we will grow. It seems like that's how God just chooses those opportunities, and then He causes us to grow. It doesn't go along with our common sense. Pastor James Kennedy has said, what really matters is what happens in us, not to us. That's the growth that he's talking about there. So many times we don't see anything happening week to week, it seems, spiritually, because spiritual growth takes place under the surface. It's like when we plant the seed, right? We don't see it growing for a while until it sprouts up. And then we're like, oh, something's going on there. I can see it. Yeah, it's gradual changes in attitude and in action and thinking patterns and responses to situations and the way we view people and how we care for people, actually. Those are all indicators of something under the surface growing and starting to pop out where we see Christ growing in us, our spiritual growth, where the seeds of God's Word flowing through us. God grows the seeds, and we also learn from our text that God does reward our labor. Look at verses 8 and 9. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And the amazing truth is that while we're planting the seeds and watering the seeds and being faithful in that work, God is going to reward us for that labor. Not with salvation, but in the age to come. We will receive reward. That's where our hope is. He rewards us, and part of that reward, too, is that we reap a harvest where we see and rejoice in new people coming and following Christ. It's amazing truth that we can join God in what He's already doing in the lives of the people around us, that we can participate in the process of changing hearts and minds to become followers of Jesus Christ. It's not that we cause them, but we can create an environment and give them opportunity to grow in Christ. God wants us to be successful, and yet growth is not always obvious. For example, the Chinese bamboo. I think I've used this illustration before. The Chinese bamboo tree does absolutely nothing for 4 years, it seems. And then, in the fifth year, it sprouts up and it grows 90 feet tall in 60 days. It's about 6 weeks. It's crazy. I mean, they said that you can actually videotape it growing because it'll grow so much in one day. It's really fast. So would you say then the bamboo tree grew in 60 days? Or would you say the bamboo tree took 5 years to grow? Because you didn't see what was happening the 4 years it was underneath the ground. No, it took 5 years to grow. And our lives are similar to the Chinese bamboo tree. Sometimes we put forth effort. We put forth effort. We don't feel like anything's happening. And then, boom, we have this spurt of growth. And we say, wow, what was going on? Well, it was going on underneath the surface. If we do the right things long enough, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's the Word of God. The New England Episcopal priest, Philip Brooks, wrote, "Bad will be the day for every man when he becomes absolutely content with the life he is living, with the thoughts he is thinking, with the deeds he is doing, when there is not forever meeting at the doors of his soul some great desire to do something larger, which he knows that he was meant and made to do because he is still the child of God." If you and I don't have this burning desire to do greater things for the Lord Christ, who we follow, then there's something wrong in us. We're too satisfied with our lives. We're too complacent with our lives. God has a plan, and He wants you and me to join that plan in spreading the Word of God around this planet, and especially in your life influence in your sphere. And so He wants us to participate in that. And He wants us to do those small things for Him. And as we do that, He'll give us bigger things to do. And we can always anticipate He's a great God. We expect great things from Him. He's going to give us greater things than we can even expect or imagine. Whatever it is, we must take whatever is holding and choking our growth and weed it out. It's like the thorns in that parable of the sower. If you're sitting here today and you don't feel like, wow, what does God want me to do next week or this week? What can I do for Christ? If there's not that thought in you, maybe you're not focused on Christ. Maybe there's something in your life that is choking out this pointing to Jesus, to have your life pointed at Jesus. Maybe it's the friends you're hanging out with. Maybe it's the job you have is just sucking you dry. Maybe it's the relationship you're in. Whatever it may be, if it's keeping us from pointing ourselves to Jesus first and foremost, then we got to rip that weed out so that we can grow, or at least create that environment to grow the Word of God within us. You know, this is exactly the reason why we host the kidney screening every year. It's because we as a church want to build bridges to the community and spread the seeds of God's love with people that don't normally come in contact with us as a church. And so it's not only our community that live near us, but it's the medical students and the undergraduate students at Rutgers that will come and serve here and get experience of that, because many of them aren't followers of Christ. And so we get to meet and talk with them, and we have a common agenda or goal to try to help the community. And so we get to share with them why, as a church, we're doing this. Because we want to point people to Jesus. We want them to see God's love in a practical way. We want them to know the love of Christ that goes beyond racial barriers or socioeconomic barriers or situations. That resonates with them. That message attracts people. And it plants seeds. It just plants seeds. That's what we're doing as a church. It's part of our work. God works through us to accomplish His work. And each one of us has an important role to fulfill. Our role is to plant seeds as we go back and forth in the everyday stuff of life, spreading the seeds around. And whatever we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then we watch and grow, watch the seeds grow and sprout and harvest the seeds at God's timing, not our own. That's what it would be about. So the question today that we end with this, the message with, is what is our role and what are we doing to be faithful in joining God and His plan to spread the seeds? Are we spreading the seeds in everything we do? And if we're a follower of Christ, that's what we're called to do. To be a sower. Sow the seed. Let's pray together. Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would well up within us and make us, as you have called us to be, your family, your body on earth, active, in a sense, farmers, spiritual farmers, sowing your seed, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you love the world so much that you gave yourself on the world's behalf. And Lord, that through faith, we can be joined and reconciled to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a tremendous truth to be not only saved, but to be forgiven and cleansed. That all the mistakes, the failures, the rebellion, the sinfulness is wiped clean because of nothing we did, but because of all of what you did. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you and worship you. I pray, Lord, with Cornerstone, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you would continue your shaping and molding work within us, and that the seeds that are already in our hearts and that we've responded to in faith would continue to grow. And that the Word of God would just break forth to those in our lives, to your glory's sake, we pray. Amen.